And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the mini show for the month of April 2017. We're sitting on the same couch.
I know.
I usually sit in the chair because Ryan usually sits on the couch. Ryan's not here.
I would appreciate you get your hand off my leg, though.
I will not. Ryan is off getting his scrotum ironed. He was tired of it being so wrinkly, so he's getting it nice and pressed.
Did you get wax first?
Yeah,
because it is awfully hairy.
Of course, yeah, it is. We're both aware. But yeah, when he's back, it'll look like, you know, two almonds wrapped in a fruit roll up. It'll be good.
I'm sure Busey will really appreciate that.
I'm sure he will.
He did get his like Busey tattooed on it, right?
Yeah. So Busey does not neglect the balls, which is great. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Oh, my God.
There was a Nintendo Direct. We got a few things to talk about, but I think the one thing that we're going to hit here for sure is the Nintendo Direct, because that happened just the other day at time of recording. We both seen it. I've seen it a couple times. And rather than kind of go through, like, game by game as they were announced, I more have, like, a schedule of games as they're coming out, so it's a little bit more, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a little bit more chronological. But anyway, let's just open it up to some general thoughts really quick. What did you think of this little 30-minute presentation?
A lot of it felt like they were just kind of like, all right, well, if we talk about what we want to talk about, this would be 5 minutes long. So why don't we just throw in a bunch of crap that nobody really cares about? Just, you know, fluff it up a little bit.
Well, you do have things like Minecraft, which I guess was fine.
That's a cool little thing.
Namco Museum, Monopoly.
Yeah.
There are these certain things that were definitely like either filler or they have some sort of agreement with these companies like Ubisoft and Namco where they are going to be more willing to bring other things to the system if Nintendo helps them promote these for like this first run of garbage. I don't feel bad about saying like Namco Museum looks like it'll be fun for people who really like those games. I don't need another copy of Pac-Man.
I don't know why they would try to get the rights to put on Minecraft. I thought that was a weird choice in them because Minecraft is traditionally a very hardcore computer game, and then some people played a lot with Xbox. And that's pretty much it. I mean, it's basically on everything now. But I mean, those who know the game or have played the game, they're not waiting a Nintendo version. I mean,
right. I don't think anyone was holding off on buying Minecraft to get the NX version one day.
It seems kind of odd.
I mean, I think that's more of like a thing where Nintendo probably didn't go too hard after to get Minecraft. It was probably something like, it's easy, let's get another version of Minecraft out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that makes sense.
Because by most accounts, it is much easier to get games on the Switch than it has been to get games on Nintendo systems in the past. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
There are a number of games talked about here that we will get to. And let's just go as, not as they were announced, but as they're actually, like, by release date. So two games are actually already out that they announced at this Nintendo Direct. One is Bye Bye Box Boy. It's a 3DS eShop game. And that one, I'm going to get more to that on the official show because I did download it. It was $5. I did beat it. It was finished. It took me a couple days. Well, there's 18 or 19 worlds, and each of them has 5 or 6 levels in it. So, I mean, the game is quick. It's a little $5 downloadable game.
That sounds like a lot, though.
There are quite a few puzzles. And, you know, it probably, like, in the span of 2 days, I played for maybe 5 or 6 hours. It's a brisk game, but there is a lot to it. And, you know, there's, like, collectible stuff and extra challenges that you can do. I didn't do them. I might do them one day. But I typically don't go back to these Box Boy games after I've hit the credits. I'll try to collect, like, each level has one or two little collectibles. I'll try to get them. And actually, I was a lot more successful getting all of the little collectible, the little crowns that you can collect in this game than I have been in previous versions. Just sort of generally speaking, I probably liked this one a little bit more than Box Boy 2. And I actually, this one might be my favorite Box Boy, because I think they got really creative with some of like the boxes that you can use, like making them a rocket or having little teleport stones. But we'll get into that with the official show. But yeah, I really ended up liking Bye Bye Box Boy. So the other game that is now available is Kirby Clash Deluxe. That's available on the 3DS eShop. That one is actually they call it free to start. It is a free download, so I downloaded it, and I'm not quite sure what you pay for yet. It's structured a lot like a mobile game, where you have like your stamina meter, and doing actions in the game depletes it, and you have to wait to refill it.
Oh, that's so stupid.
So maybe that's something like, but I've played like 3 or 4 levels, and it has not been an issue. So it seems to be pretty generous with that stamina. And
that's so stupid. This is a console game.
Does it feel like it's been tainted?
Yes. This is terrible. I didn't know about that. That's horrible.
There are a number of games like that on the 3DS. Like, this is not
seriously?
New. Yeah.
Like,
there's my Pokemon Shuffle.
Okay, name a good game that's like that.
My Pokemon Shuffle's okay. I don't know if I'd call it good. I don't even know if I'd call Kirby Crash Deluxe good. I mean, it just seems
really... Again, we'll get into this later on when we're discussing another part of this Deluxe, this Direct. But it seems like Nintendo's going backwards in some instances. Like, here's a mobile... Here's an aspect of a mobile game. Let's put it on a console game.
Having this sort of structure to a game is definitely a reaction to a lot of their investors pushing them to do more mobile games. And is definitely a reaction...
They're like, no, we're not doing mobile games. We'll throw in our systems. Fuck you.
I don't know if Kirby Crash Deluxe would work exactly on a mobile system, because buttons are pretty important. Like, the general setup of the game is you enter these battles, and it's sort of like a Super Smash Brothers style battle. I haven't seen too many creative levels yet, but you're a Kirby and you have a team of little Kirby bots, or I think you can team up with other people through the internet, maybe, but I haven't tried yet, or it might be just local. But you all team up against a giant enemy. And there's different character classes, like Sword Kirby and Hammer Kirby and Mage Kirby and Healer Kirby. And like you have different challenges. Defeat the enemy within this certain time limit. Defeat the enemy as this character class. And you buy weapon upgrades, and you buy armor upgrades. And I don't think that there are other skills, but there are level ups, and you gain stat bonuses. It's all very light. I think the general structure of the game is very akin to a mobile game, but you don't have buttons on a mobile system. So
that's,
I think that's why...
Stupid.
I mean, I might talk about this game more on the official show, or I might not. I don't know. Like, this is...
We'll see.
It was a free download, so I was like, okay, I'll try this. But I have dozens of other games that I could probably rather be playing before more Kirby Crash Deluxe. So let's keep on moving. There's one more high-profile game coming out in the month of April. It's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is coming to the Switch on April 28th. They showed a little bit more of it, but it's pretty much a known quantity at this point. Like, it's a cool package if you don't already have Mario Kart 8, or if you really want a battle mode, because that does not exist in the Wii U version of Mario Kart 8. I've probably talked about this several times before. My Wii U is still hooked up. I don't have a really big incentive to jump on board with Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, it's still a good system.
Yeah, it still works.
Yeah.
Still functional.
Yeah.
If I did not have Mario Kart 8 on Wii U, this would probably be a definite buy.
Yeah.
And it is like, if you don't have Mario Kart 8, if you don't have a version of it yet, this is definitely the one to get, because it comes with like $40 worth of DLC.
Oh yeah.
Crazy amounts.
Bunch of stuff.
We already talked about Minecraft. It's coming out May 11th. It has like the Mario skin stuff. I don't think there's anything else to see here. They mentioned that Fire Emblem Echoes was having DLC. That's coming to the 3DS on May 19th. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that Fire Emblem is going to have DLC.
Should we discuss this, or should we just
no? Well, no. I think it's a discussion worth having. There are times where Nintendo does really well with handling DLC, and there are times where I wish they would just not talk about it until the game is out.
I mean, it's
well, you brought this up when we were watching the Nintendo Direct.
It's so stupid.
It's not a selling point.
It's so stupid.
DLC is not a selling
point. Hey, guess what? Here's this amazing game. You should buy it, because later on in the road, you're going to give us more money for it. Like, Fuck you.
No one is sitting watching the Nintendo Direct like, I don't know about Fire Emblem Echoes. Oh, wait, there's DLC? Yeah, I'm in.
Like, it seems like an idiotic thing. I mean, you get games like Dark Souls. I'm using this as a example here.
And to keep more of a Nintendo direction, games like Mario Kart 8, games like Hyrule Warriors.
Exactly. You get the game that comes out, and then after, you know, X amount of time, months pass, especially on the Dark Souls playing, I mean, months pass, and they're like, hey, here's a DLC coming out. It's got blah, 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 new weapons, new maps, new bosses, boom, boom. Everybody who owns Dark Souls knows this shit's coming. It's not a new mechanic. Every Dark Souls has DLC. But they don't beat it over our heads as a selling point. You know, they have teasers and everything. There's a build-up to it. You get, like, excited. It's not something that, like, we don't know anything about the game, but we know there's DLC. Like, it's idiotic.
See, I don't think that, and we've probably talked about how Nintendo can be pretty dense at times. Because what they probably see is that, like, oh, we put out these Fire Emblem games, we've done DLC, people seem to like it. That must mean people like games with DLC. Like, well, no, we like the actual game, and we get the DLC because we liked the game. It's not in the reverse. We don't like the game more because there is DLC. I'd be fine if the DLC were just, like, included content. That would be great.
Yeah, give us the stupid thing.
But it seems like, oh my goodness, like, people are really, like, people it buy... It sounds like people buy our DLC. Well, I mean, you could say that about anyone in DLC.
But especially... you could say that with anybody in DLC. Except on a lot of DLC, it takes months after the game comes out. They're continuously working on the game to come out more and more and more. But on this kind of sense, like, hey, there's DLC. The game's not even out yet, and they've already announced DLC. So it sounds like they have this shit in the bag, and, like, we're just not going to give them this and make them pay for it. Like, it's cheesy, dirty...
In most cases, games like Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, there are the new Super Mario Bros. Games, and the new Super Mario Bros. 2 had DLC. In most cases, it doesn't seem like the content is finished, and they're just holding it back. In Fire Emblem, yeah, I could see that. Because they're additional maps. They're map packs. And they come out rather quickly.
I'm going a little over the board in reality. Because a lot of games nowadays are released with season passes and everything like that. So, I mean...
Season passes are not unique.
I'm overthinking this and flipping out a little too much. But still, it just seemed... weird that they're doing this, like, they're using it as a means to sell the game. There's DLC. Like,
yeah, it's not a selling point.
Fuck you guys.
Once again, they prove they are not good at marketing things. Like, this should not be
don't get me wrong, I'm not upset that there's DLC. I'm upset, I just think it's a dumb way to market.
They shouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, chill out.
DLC should be used to give the games extra legs months after release.
Yeah.
Which is what really good DLC does. Hyrule Warriors, Dark Souls, Mario Kart 8, the examples that we've been using. That gave those games this extra longevity and extra incentive to be like, well, I haven't played it in a little while. I really liked it. I'm going to pick it back up to play this DLC.
Exactly. Same with me and Dark Souls, for instance. The new one came out. I haven't played it in months. Now I want to again.
But anyway, we've been going on for a while about DLC. Let's move forward. Also out in May, Disgaea 5 Complete, coming to Switch on May 23rd. Complete means it has all of the DLC from the previous version included. So there's that. Ultra Street Fighter 2 coming to the Switch on May 26th. They talked about a couple of new fighters. This one, I'm going to try to talk Ryan into getting a Switch pretty soon. See if I can... because he would actually really like Ultra Street Fighter 2. He really likes Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, he really would.
And there are a bunch of other games coming out. And Ultra Street Fighter 2, I think, is coming out at a lower price. I think it's going to be $40, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm going to have a bunch of other games to play, so I'm going to try to talk to him. I'm not looking forward to paying any sort of money to play a game with Ryan that I know I'm just going to get my butt kicked over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it would be kind of cool because there is that mode where you can play cooperatively and do like a 2-on-1 fight, which looks really cool. I'll just sit in the back and throw like Hadoukens while he does all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, exactly. Just like you do in Smash.
No, that's not true. I'm going to dispute you on that one, sir.
I'm going to sit in the back and just throw my bombs and my arrows until you guys die a few times. And then I'll join in.
Incorrect. And boomerangs.
My bad.
So ARMS, another fighting game coming to Switch on June 16th. They spent a lot of time on this one.
I don't know how I feel about ARMS. And the reason being is it sounds really cool and it looks really cool. But at the same time, some like that demo fight they did was pretty slow paced. And so I'm watching this. I'm like, this kind of looks like that Pokemon game.
Oh, Pokken?
Yeah, Pokken Tournament. It looks like that, and it feels like that. It's kind of slow-paced.
I think a demo of this game is going to be key to getting a lot of people interested.
See, they just made a game like Pokken Tournament faster-paced, like Smash Brothers. Because or this ARMS a little bit faster-paced. Then I think it would be really cool. You can get people really into this, really fighting out. They can have, like, ARMS tournaments and things like that. Like they do with Smash Brothers.
I think the key to that is going to be how it plays close up. Because a lot of what you were seeing in the Direct was people fighting really far apart.
Yeah.
Like, what happens when you get in closer quarters and doesn't take as much time for your punches to land? What's the game look like?
How do
people
react at that point?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of skill will come out on that
point. I can see that getting more frantic, especially when there's like those things like deflects and guards.
Yeah, there was also like this weird thing where their hands went out, grabbed them, pulled them in, and they just started wailing on their face.
I think about like how grabs are going to work, if that's going to be a thing. So I think this game looks interesting. And to me, like a lot of the conversation around this game reminds me a lot of Splatoon when it was first announced. Or Breath of the Wild when it was first shown. Because people would be like, yeah, it looks cool, but I don't know if it's going to do this. And like Splatoon is going to be like, yeah, it looks cool, but I don't know if there's going to be enough content. And it turned out to be a fuck ton of content in Splatoon. And Breath of the Wild was like, yeah, it looks cool, but the world looks kind of empty. And then it was like, well, the world isn't empty. Like, well, yeah, it looks cool, but I don't know how the dungeons are going to... I don't know if there's going to be any dungeons. And it turns out there are dungeons. So it seems like, in many cases, over the past few years, when there's skepticism around Nintendo games, my advice would be just hang on. Wait till it comes out. Then start judging. Because in cases like Splatoon, Breath of the Wild, everyone's concerns turned out to be invalid.
Yeah.
All the things they were worried about were not actually the case in the game. So,
I mean, is Splatoon really that popular?
Oh, yeah.
I hear nothing of Splatoon.
Splatoon, well, it's hugely popular in Japan. And like the game sold really, really well in Japan and in North America. In Japan, I believe like 60 or 70% of people who had a Wii U also have Splatoon.
Hmm.
So yeah, like I mean, it's not like Overwatch popular, but it also wasn't on a system that sold tens of millions of units. So yeah, it's like Splatoon, I mean, clearly popular enough to spawn a sequel, which is coming out July 21st. I mean, do we want to say anything about Splatoon, since we're on that topic? They showed a little bit right at the end. They gave the release date. They showed the Horde mode, which looked really cool.
The Horde mode looks pretty cool. Like, that would be a mode where I get into, because personally, I wasn't a big fan of Splatoon.
It's okay to
mostly because I sucked at it. No, it's not a matter of being wrong. It's a matter of I suck at it, so I don't like it. Like, the same reason why you don't like fighting games, because you suck at them.
I like fighting games.
You suck at them.
I do. It's okay. I can still appreciate them, though. Like, I am not going to...
I appreciate it. I think it's a perfectly fine game and everything, but I suck at it, so like, I don't like it.
I'm not going to be good at ARMS. Like, it's...
Oh, I'm going to be god-awful at ARMS. It's going to be funny. Oh, my gosh.
But, like, Splatoon, it is really cool to see, like, that Horde mode because it is more... It, like, takes away a lot of the competitiveness that a lot of people like, which is fine, but it doesn't really do it for me. In games, I like a more cooperative experience. So, you know...
Same here.
You have that team of four.
I like team games.
Yeah. And, like, that's why we always play Dokkaebon Kingdom as a team.
As a team. That's we just gave them on the NPC
on the bots,
that we make. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
and then you had to deal with the, what is it, the Darkling?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And we had to deal with that. And then, you know, we're about to get attacked with them, and we just change the controls so we control them, so we can steal their shield and shit, and break the game.
You absolutely should cheat at that game.
Oh my god, it's so good. You get that Darkling shield, and done. You won the game.
Like, that's what we need on Switch. Like, we need...
A Dokkaebon Kingdom,
Just a digital version of Dokkaebon Kingdom for the
Screw Monopoly.
Yeah, we don't need Monopoly.
Give us a Dokkaebon.
I mean, it's got two controllers. It's
the same thing, but better.
It's got two controllers built in, the Switch. It's perfect for Dokkan Kingdom. And plus, in Dokkan Kingdom, you could play with one Wii remote, just pass it around if you really felt like it.
It's not that
big.
You do that? Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud. It's not. Give us fucking Dokkan. Who's the company that does... Who's the company that does Dokkan?
Alice.
All right, let's send them a dirty letter.
Well, let's send them a nice letter. And then, like...
No, we'll send them two layers. We'll do a very nice one and dirty one. So they get both... Both points of this.
And we'll put, like, Sherlock's paw print at the end of the dirty one, so they think he sent it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think? No, we're doing this.
Okay.
We're sending them a letter.
You're right.
Dokkapone, you sons of bitches. What if we do a petition?
I mean...
We do, like, an internet petition, get, like, 5 million people to sign off on this. Be like, hey, we want Dokkapone.
That game sold horrifically.
It doesn't matter.
It was...
If we get a petition going for this, bring us Dokkapone. We get, like... 5 million signatures.
The game.
Do you think they're gonna be like, all right, we'll make that?
I'm sure if you got 5 million signatures, Atlas would be like, sure, where do we sign?
we'll make whatever you want. I don't even care.
Like, if Atlas could sell 5 million of anything, they'd be like, yes, you can have it. Absolutely.
Right, how many signatures do you think we need to get them to make Dokkapone?
I don't know. Like,
we're doing this tangent, all right? I don't give a fuck.
I think, like, we've got to have a serious conversation about this.
Let's break this down.
I think if you could get maybe 200,000 people to sign a petition, like, Atlas might be willing to do that. Because it's not like, there are a very few amount of Atlas franchises that really, like, set the world on fire and do well. Like, Persona 5 is... They've shipped like 1.5 million units. Doesn't mean they've sold them all, but it's still impressive that they put that many copies out there. And it seems to be doing pretty well. People seem to like that game. But like other Atlas games, they sell like tens of thousands. And they seem to be okay with that, which is great. It's great that they're still, because, you know, Capcom would be okay with that. Konami wouldn't be okay with that. Square Enix wouldn't be okay with that. If a game sold only a few, like 10,000, like in the tens of thousands, they'd be like, well, fuck that franchise, it's dead. But Atlas, you know, seems to find a way to continue to make things work.
I mean,
so 200,000.
If we just go to a bunch of GameStops
and
just drop these things off and be like, hey, you mind just asking people to sign this petition? Explain what it's for. We don't want anybody just half-ass whatever.
You could do internet petitions, right? Like, you don't
we
have
to do that too.
We don't.
You do both.
I haven't set foot in a GameStop in a long time, and I plan to keep it that way.
You're so against it. See, people like you is the reason why we're losing stores.
Everything online. Amazon's the reason that you're using. Be more like him. You know what's fucked up? We might have talked about this in a show before, which I guess is like the theme of this podcast. We've already talked about this.
We are talking about this.
But like Amazon. Was kicking around ideas. I don't know if they're actually going to do it, but like opening up like a brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
It's so good. It's so good.
The thing they're putting out of business. They're like, let's build one of those.
It's like taking a dump on other people's graves. Like, yeah. Just, yeah, haha, I can do it.
just building stores on the ashes
it's
of
like,
Circuit
it's
City.
It's like taking a watch from a dead guy. What? You're not going to use it.
Right. This makes me think of the Deadpool 2 trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
That was actually, yeah, that was
really good. It's going to be really good.
I mean, I didn't need to see his ass, but...
Yes, you did. Yes,
actually,
you did.
Yeah, I kind of did. That's, you know, wonderful ass. Good job. Good for him.
Yeah. Or, you know, whoever his ass double was. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it was him.
You think so?
I mean, at this point, he's like, fuck it. People deserve to see this.
Let's write him a letter. And find out.
Right,
and,
you send him a nice letter. I'll send him a mean letter.
And let's hope we don't swap the letters to the two.
Atlas,
dear Atlas, nice ass. Anything? Do we want to say anything else about Splatoon 2? I think they did.
We were talking about Splatoon.
Yeah, I think they did hint at a single player, which I don't think has been totally confirmed. But like when they were talking about like how the battle keeps raging against the Octolings, like that was your opponent in the single player of Splatoon 1. So maybe that's hinting more at a single player of Splatoon 2, which would be cool. Because I actually did like the single player in Splatoon 1. But we left off... that's coming out July 21st. There's a couple more games for June that just need to pass over real quick. Ever Oasis coming up to the 3DS. We've talked about this one before. They were just announcing a release date, June 23rd. RPG Maker FES, however that's pronounced, coming to the 3DS June 27th. Which, I mean, we talked a little bit about that one when we were watching the Direct. It seems like a pretty cool little RPG maker tool, but I just don't know how varied, like, the gameplay can actually get.
Like, how many of these RPG makers have there been? Because the last time I remember an RPG maker was on the PS1.
Well, I think it's primarily, like, a PC to application now.
Oh, so is it? Yeah. That was the last time I saw an actual RPG maker. Yeah. Which,
I mean, that must have been, like, a huge pain in the ass to try to share RPGs through a PS1.
I don't know how it was supposed to work.
Like, you had to, like, use memory cards.
Save it to the cartridge and just take it to your buddy's house who also has the game? Or yeah. Pick the game with you?
Yeah, that must have been it.
I mean, it's just...
What? But, like, but with the 3DS version... God, I'm going to have to check my facts and get back on the next show. But it seems like you're just able to upload them to the 3DS eShop and people could just download them for free.
Like, do you, like, type out the scripts and everything? Make your own story and... That whole big ordeal?
Yes, that's what it seems
Holy
like this is.
Holy shit, Skabobs. You would definitely want to do this on PC. Because imagine typing all that crap out on the...
Like a 3DS touch screen.
Tiny little thing. Just dot, 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 dot.
I could see, like, maybe the XL working a little bit better. But, yeah, like a PC. Like, there's
also
a reason...
Blind is making this thing.
There's a reason PC is the home platform for this. But, you know, it's kind of cool. You can, like, do the text, there's, like, different character designs and color palette swaps that you can do. I don't know how much you're going to be able to, like, mess with the class of those characters, or if just, like, he looks like a ninja, he's going to be your ninja. That kind of, I don't know how that's going to work.
I mean, do you pick what abilities each classes do? And
right,
then,
right.
They have different options for magic system, or what game's magic system is more closely related to? Because, you know, mm-hmm. different fire fantasies had... Final Fantasy is a different kind of magic system.
Right.
Even. So, I mean...
To me, like, I haven't heard any... I haven't researched this game too much. I don't know too much about how the actual customization of the battle system is going to work. But to me, that'd be the make-or-break thing about an RPG maker, is how much can you customize those battles. Because what we briefly saw in this Nintendo Direct, it looked like a Dragon Quest clone. Mm. Which is just sort of the bog-standard... middle-of-the-road RPG battle system. It's the first, like, stereotype that comes to mind when you think of an RPG system. You can use attack, and you can use magic, and there's elemental stuff, but it doesn't really go too far beyond that.
You know who would be really good at these kind of games?
Who's that?
DMs. The people who like playing Dungeons and Dragons and actually running campaigns. They would be fantastic at this. Just take one of your favorite campaigns you've played with your friends and be like, I'm going to make this an RPG. Let's do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what popped in my head.
But let's move forward before we get too bogged down into what this game could be or should be. Fate Extella is coming to the Switch on July 25th, and this is actually a franchise I never heard of before, but you have.
Well, I've heard of it because I've watched the animes.
Okay.
And I think there's a manga for it. I could be wrong on that. But the Fate games, I know I would think they're very big... in Japan and stuff, because they're not very big here at all. You hardly ever see them.
Right.
I mean, back when we worked for InMotion, the airport, we had one game for the PSP that we sold. And I didn't understand anything about it back then.
It looks like it's a Musou game, a Dynasty Warriors game.
I mean, the anime's got a cool... It's a cool story, and it's a cool concept. But I don't know how the games are, because they're very different. I've seen them, like...
Oh, yeah?
They got this Fate Extella, which is kind of like a Warriors type of game, like Hyrule Warriors and Dynasty Warriors kind of game, where you're just fighting off giant hordes of things, which is weird, because that's not anything with the anime. And then you have the older ones that are on, like, the PlayStation 2 and PS3 and stuff, where, like, a Street Fighter, what is that called? The side...
Like a brawler?
Not like a brawler, it's just like there's a regular Street Fighter kind of game.
Oh, like a fighter?
Like a Street Fighter game, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. So, I mean, they're doing different things with this. The anime is really good. If anybody listening is an anime fan, check them out. Fate Stay Night and Fate Zero. Well, it goes Zero, then Stay Night.
Okay.
And then they re-release Stay Night as... It's weird. They have Stay Night, and then they released Fate Unlimited Blade Works, which is the same story, but it's different. Kind of like Fullmetal Alchemist and then... Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. It's roughly the same story, but there's major differences in it.
Okay, so they kind of like just reimagine it and tell the story again.
And I hear there's a third version of that coming out. So there's going to be a third one of that. So it's the same characters and everything, but the story is drastically different. It's really odd. I don't know. And they're doing a bunch of weird stuff with that. I never understood this franchise, and I never fully understood it. It's very odd to me.
Well, Xseed is bringing the Switch version to North America, which is cool. Like, Xseed, like, that's... They make a living off of bringing Japanese franchises that are often considered obscure to North America. And they... Again, they're probably not a company that probably... They don't sell a lot of games, but they find a way to keep the doors open, even though they're not letting the world on fire with any sales. And, you know, I have a passing interest in what this is. I'm not going to be buying it at launch. There's too many other things to play.
Yeah, I'd say for you, probably skip it. I think you'd get bored of it really quick.
Well, see, and it looks like a Warrior-style game, and
see a lot of depth to it.
Like, the Fire Emblem one is also supposed to be coming out in 2017.
Just get the Fire Emblem one. Fate one.
Well, yeah, why would I buy two of those in 1 year? Yeah. Like, I don't have an overwhelming... Or even, like, a minimal interest.
Unless you're a hardcore fan of the Fates, I say just skip and get the Fire Emblem one. Because that's just a much more well-known... It seems like Nintendo puts more... Not Nintendo, but the companies that make those games put more effort into the Fire Emblem.
Omega Force.
Yeah, Omega Force, whatever.
Well, Intelligent System makes Fire Emblem. Omega Force does the Warrior-style game. And I'm pretty sure they're doing the Fire Emblem one. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So,
especially if it's anything like Hyrule Warriors, because that was fantastic.
Hyrule Warriors is so good.
Oh, man.
Hey, Pikmin is coming to the 3DS on July 28th. We saw a little bit more gameplay, but nothing really too new here. We've talked about this game in the past. It looks like a new take on that game, Kirby Mass Attack, for the DS, which is really good. So, yeah, this is one that's a definite buy for me. It looks cool. Coldcept Revolution. The next installment in the popular franchise, according to Nintendo, is coming to the 3DS August 29th. I have no idea what this franchise is.
What is it?
Coldcept Revolution. Coldcept Revolt. It's
that weird cardboard game. Yeah. Sort of weird.
Yeah. Thing. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean...
You use the cards to place your characters on the board, then move them and use cards for attack. I don't know what the thing is.
I have no idea. I am mildly curious because it comes out in August and so far nothing else is. That's it. That's the extent of my curiosity.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure other stuff will be coming out in August.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to go through a list of a bunch of things that are slated for summer, quote-unquote.
But is August summer?
Yeah, well, summer ends in late September.
Really?
Yeah.
I never understood. All right.
Well, that's when the equinox is.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do we have to explain this to you?
I go days without seeing the sun, John.
Okay.
Like, the past 2 days, I did not walk outside. Today was the first day since Thursday that I've actually seen what the sun looks like.
I actually can't remember if it's the equinox or the solstice, but it is the point in Earth's revolution around the sun where the axis in the north hemisphere is no, like, goes from being pointed more directly at the sun to now tilted away from the sun. So that is when days will start to become noticeably shorter and the planet will start to cool off.
Why would it be like savings and stuff like that? Because that was originally invented for farmers, but there's only like four of them left, so who gives a fuck about that?
Right, and they'll soon be replaced by robots. It's stupid.
Exactly.
It's stupid and it needs to stop.
Yeah.
If Trump can do something for us, it should be this. Fuck everything.
Stop daylight savings.
Yeah, fuck everything else up. Just end daylight savings, please.
It just gets too confusing that one day, those 2 days of the year.
I'm fairly positive he has no idea what daylight savings time is. Do you think he, like, ever needs to, like, keep track of what time it is ever?
He's too focused on who to bomb next.
Uh-huh. I mean... Like if we just, like, we'll write him a letter. And we'll say, show us your ass.
Dear
and then,
Trump, you have a wonderful ass.
And then...
Please make us some more Dokapon Kingdoms.
And then end daylight savings time. And if we just tell him what daylight savings time is, he'd probably be like, this is dumb. It's over.
It's over.
And we're like, thank you, sir, for being a maniacal jackass and doing one good thing with your life.
I feel like Trump should have one of those curly mustaches, like a villain in a cheesy movie. I feel
Absolutely.
Like he should have one of those.
Stovepipe hat, yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
No. He's got the voice for it.
Sure does. Alright, so the following games are slated for summer 2017. Project Makura for Switch, that's the butt slam game. That looks like...
That looks so dumb.
I mean, it looks like it's probably a downloadable eShop game. I can't imagine.
You know how they would sell live copies of that?
Mm.
Just make them Mario people.
Mm. Or like anime, or like anime girls.
Or anime girls.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah, anime girls or Mario. Boom, you just sold a million copies.
Then, Cinemora, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, EX. That's a Switch game. That's the side-scrolling shooter, like the space shooter game.
Oh, yeah, that actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, THQ Nordic is bringing that one to Switch. Yeah, that one looks really cool. And there's co-op. So, yeah, that's that one I'm sure we'll be playing and talking about.
Did he come out with another, was it Ikarugi?
Ikaruga? That's never going to happen.
They need to. That game was a giant Caesar fest. Like, to this day, I'm sure part of my twitches are from that,
plugged over
from that. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Treasure is up to these days. Maybe I'll have to look into that and report back on the next show.
Do we need to send them a letter?
Yeah, maybe.
We need to make a list.
A list of the letters we need to write.
John, take a note.
Okay.
John, take a letter. Dear people, we should just make the one big note and just send them to everybody.
Here's a list of things we need to happen. Apply it to yourselves accordingly.
More Ryan Reynolds' ass. Dogbone Kingdom.
And Atlas is going to be like, we can't end daylight savings time. We're in Japan. And speaking of people who need letters, we need Sega to stop. Sonic Mania is coming to the Switch in summer 2017. They need to stop. They're not fooling anyone anymore. They show these games and they look okay right up until the point where they come out where everyone's
like...
See,
this is one of these companies that just keeps spitting out games. We don't care if we sell only 1,000 copies.
Well, that's the thing. They do care. Like, I'm not sure how well Sonic games sell anymore, but there are series that Sega has stopped making because they don't sell millions of copies.
Do they sell millions of copies of Sonic?
I don't know. They must. Sega keeps doing it.
Dear Google.
Right. Namco Museum coming to the Switch 2017. We've already touched on that one. That's alright, sure. Kirby Blowout Blast coming to the 3DS in summer 2017. There's like three Kirby games that were talked about in this Direct. I guess it's like Kirby's 25th anniversary or something like that. So they're doing a bunch of Kirby games. But I don't know. I mean, again, this game will depend on release date. We don't really know too much about it other than it's like it's a 3D Kirby game. It's on a side-scroller this time, and there's some top-down view stuff, and you suck in enemies and you spit them out, you know, typical Kirby stuff. Battle Chasers Night War is coming to the Switch in late summer 2017, which, that's the one where, do you have a report on Sonic
here? I don't, not completely, but this is really funny. I've typed into Google, how well do Sonic games sell?
Uh-huh.
I get, you know, the Sonic Wiki.
Yeah.
Sales of Sonic games, infogram charts, and infographics. That would be the link to find the info. But
sure.
Some of the other
things
have popped up here. Sonic reveals Sonic Boom is the worst selling Sonic game ever. Next one. Why Sonic the Hedgehog is awful and always has been. Next one. Sonic Boom is the worst selling Sonic title in history. Next one. Why do they still make Sonic games? They don't sell very well. Next one. Sonic games need to stop being made.
Yes.
This is hilarious.
Yes. For once, Internet, you're on the ball.
Oh,
here.
My God. Good job, Internet.
All right. Stand by, because we're going to talk about Battle Chasers Night War, which is that RPG with the robots.
Oh, yeah. There's so little of that, though.
That's another one from THQ Nordic, I believe, and who are also doing that Cinemora game, the space shooter one. But, yeah, that one's coming to the Switch late summer, and it looks really cool. Like, it's got a really nice art style to it. It's got a really nice visual aesthetic, kind of like a dystopian future sort of thing. But yeah, that's the one that's going to be a definite must-buy for me. Okay, we have info on Sonic sales. It looks like the Sonic one was the best-selling one.
I don't know how accurate this is, but most of them sell horribly.
Hang on. Let me... What I'm trying to figure out what the... In what grouping of numbers this is in.
I don't know. The like copies or dollar that they made or
it's got to be copies, but I'm not seeing a key to this. Cause I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say that Sonic 2 sold more than 6,000 copies. That's got to be Yeah, this has to be in millions. So, like, Sonic... God, did Sonic 1 sell more than 14 million? That seems wrong.
Yeah, that's very high.
That is... Unless it was a pack-in at one point. It must have been a pack-in. But then you got, like, Sonic 2. Like, Sonic 2 selling 6 million seems probably right. But then, like, the next most successful one... Sonic Mega Collection, it seems. And then...
Which, that would make sense that Mega Collection would sell well.
Sonic Adventure seems like it sold a lot, like 12 million if that's the case with this game. I mean, that's probably as many Dreamcasts that existed out in the world. Maybe that was a pack-in at one point.
Yeah, but these are like the older games, back when those Sonic games were actually playable.
I will argue against Sonic Adventure being a good game for a long time, but we won't get into that right now. It seems like after Sonic Mega Collection Plus, things definitely took a dip, because games like Sonic Rush, Sonic the Hedgehog from 2006, Sonic Unleashed, Sonic Colors, Mario and Sonic, Sonic Boom, Sonic Lost World, none of them really did great. It looks like they even struggled to break a million, which, I mean, again, to Sega, that probably would be seen as a failure, unless like the barrier for success is super low. Like it doesn't take much to actually make these games, so they don't care if it doesn't sell very much. I don't know. It's just sad that Sega seems to keep on spitting out Sonic games over and over again. They don't seem to do particularly well. They're not particularly good, and they don't do anything else anymore. But anyway. We digress. We already talked about Monopoly. Monster Hunter Stories coming to the 3DS fall 2017. Yo-Kai Watch 2 Psychic Spectres is coming to the 3DS in fall 2017. Level 5 is not giving up on Yo-Kai Watch in North America just yet, apparently. And again, another Sonic game. This one also coming to the Switch. Holiday 2017. That's Sonic Forces. They did also give like a title card for a new Kirby action game coming to 3DS Holiday 2017. And then we got some vague 2017 dates for a few games here. Miitopia, which is that game with the Miis, the RPG.
That
the
3DS looks... I don't know.
Again, it's going to depend on how those battles work. Because
yes, it really is.
If it's a game where... Like Tamagotchi Life for the 3DS, where it's you got your Miis and you watch them interact with each other and you put them in situations where you get these funny interactions. That's not something I'm interested in.
It looks like it's that, but then it's with an RPG focus.
Right. And
which
if it's
pretty stupid.
Then, well, if it's like one of those 3DS Street Pass games that are just really light... RPG-ish, like it wears the mask of an RPG, but you're really just watching the game play, I'm not interested. Like, I'm not interested in watching a game happen. Like, give me something to do. And
I mean, there's a wonderful thing. It's been around for a long time. It's called movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And if I want to watch a game, I'd watch a movie.
Don't you watch a lot of streamers, though?
I do watch a lot of streamers, but they're playing the game.
Uh-huh, but you're not.
But I'm not. But they're showing me where I'm going wrong, and
they're
showing me what it looks like when someone's good playing the game.
I've never understood watching a game being played out. Like, well, to an extent, I'll watch a speedrun. Speedruns are cool. Like, if they're
speedruns are really, really cool.
If they're done in like 5 minutes, I'll watch.
Yeah, but you know, it's you gotta think about it this way. I mean, sometimes when I'm watching streamers or anything like this, I'm also playing the game. Mm. Like when I play Hearthstone, I have two screens, so I got one guy. Streaming Hearthstone, seeing this really interesting deck and him playing with it and seeing what decks go well with it, what decks don't, and things like that. And I'm sitting here playing my own game, trying to get going and seeing how I'm doing with that.
I'll
be seeing they're bored somewhere, and I can't really, like, put my attention towards watching a show or something, like, at work, but I'll put on, like, a streamer, have it mute, and just watch them playing this game and be like, oh, that's something cool I didn't think of doing.
I've actually watched, like, little let's plays of certain games when at work as well. Because it's different when you're at work. Because it's like, fuck it.
Or if I'm like, or even in between commercials.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pull out my phone and be like, put on a streamer for in between commercials and be like,
rrr. And I actually did a play along, well, sort of a play along with Eco on PS2 when I played through that. Instead of, when I got stuck or needed a little bit of advice, instead of going to an FAQ, there was just a stream that I would just find where I was and watch them do something to kind of point me in the right direction and then turn it off, keep going until I got stuck and then.
Yeah, I mean, there's, and, you know, these people, like, they get, like, a fan base and stuff like that. It's kind
of
crazy.
A lot of it just reminds me of...
Like, when I streamed regularly, I had regular viewers. Just my usuals. And they'll show up and be like, hey, Wavy, what's going on, man? Just things like that. We had jokes from previous streams that we'd be bringing up and stuff like that.
Do you still stream?
I haven't streamed in a long time. I just don't get viewers. It's just one of those things. For me...
If you were an anime girl.
If I was an anime, see, that's the thing. This is how you get viewers. You're either a hot chick with a low-cut shirt, or you're really freaking good at the game. That's how you get viewers.
We can get you a low-cut shirt. We can make it happen.
Yeah, we can do this.
So.
Put on a wig, give myself some long hair.
Yeah. You keep the beard, though. Don't know if I'd like you without a beard at this point.
Yeah.
In all of my memories of you, even when you're 5, you had a beard.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah. So, God, what the fuck were we even talking about?
I don't know.
You know what streaming reminds me of, though? And I'm super stoked that I get to mention this game again. Genghis Khan 2, Clan of the Grey Wolf. Because I really like playing that game. Me and Jeremy really love playing that game. We did like an hour and a half podcast on Genghis Khan 2, Clan of the Grey Wolf. And James, our older brother, he would sometimes start a game... get it to like a certain point in the progression, get an hour into it, and then just turn it onto a computer play and watch how it all played out. And to me, like, that sounds boring as fuck.
Yeah, that does. For that game, yeah, that's not, I mean, just well, watching YouTube play Genghis Khan.
A lot of things in that game are boring as fuck.
I mean, holy hell, dude.
Ah, oh, that game's so good though, I love it. When he was in town in February, we started up another run.
Oh my god. And next time he comes back in, what is it, September he's coming again?
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys are going to be doing that.
Of course. That's why the Wii U is staying hooked up. That's the real reason.
For Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And anyway,
we need to do some stuff and post some videos on YouTube of us playing games and being wacky.
Alright, figure out how to capture it. Oh my god. That's all we got to do.
Oh my god.
The only other two games left to talk about here, Puyo Puyo Tetris coming to Switch 2017, as well as Payday 2 2017 for the Switch. We've been going on for a while, so I don't think we should spend any time there. But there are a couple of things we should talk about, including the hardware that they announced at this Nintendo Direct.
Oh, my God.
There's the yellow Joy-Cons.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Around arms. Also, you can buy the yellow Joy-Con straps as a separate fucking item. The yellow Joy-Cons come with a gray wrist strap. Which, you know, the biggest advantage of the wrist strap is that you hook it onto the top and it becomes a more comfortable controller to hold sideways. The shoulder
buttons are better. Not even the strap itself. It just makes the controller fit better in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is good. Like, me and a buddy at work, we've played through a lot of, like, Metal Slug. We were playing Snipper Clips earlier today. And it's really cool to have two controllers there. I mean, they're tiny little things, but they're functional. And having the wrist strap on there makes them a lot better. But it's fucked up. Here's some yellow Joy-Cons. If you want the whole thing to be yellow, you gotta give us another $7.
But the yellow one comes with a gray wrist strap?
Right!
What the fuck?
Why?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You know why? And we're gonna talk about this a couple more times. It's because they love to sell you plastic.
Oh yeah, they do.
They love doing
it. Dear God.
So, there's also, they announced the Joy-Con AA battery packs, which...
Do you think they sit in like a boardroom and yes. be like, all right, we're no longer in the business of video games. Yes, we will sell them, but our goal is plastic. The future is in plastic.
Plastic accessories and toys.
I mean, they're moving backwards, so eventually they're just going to start selling action figures and just not have games.
I mean...
People can use their imagination.
They really love that plastic. It's got a real nice profit margin, I assume. Because they keep doing it. And like these AA battery packs. First of all, these AA battery packs, The problem with the Joy-Cons is not that the battery life is too short. The battery life on the Joy-Cons is absolutely fine. It's great. I have never once had to like charge a Joy-Con out of necessity. Like they're always just charged.
It's so funny because it's like when the Wii came out, you had the controller and they took batteries, so they released the rechargeable battery pack. Awesome. That makes it convenient.
Mm.
I support that. Here they're looking at it going, all right, well, controller takes care of itself. It's got a rechargeable battery. How can we sell another accessory to this? AA batteries. Let's go backwards. What the fuck?
It's absurd. This is insane. Somebody needs to see if they're all okay
there. You need to like, just, come on, guys.
It's not
huffing glue.
It's not needed. It doesn't even make sense to actually put AA batteries in the year of our Lord 2017 into anything. Nothing should take AA batteries anymore.
Nope, really shouldn't. Your remote for your television should have rechargeable batteries now.
Yeah, it really should.
Just idiotic.
I mean, because the worst thing about like the remote for your TV using batteries is like
the only thing you buy batteries for nowadays. Right,
and the backing for it always gets fucking lost.
I work for Radio Shack, and it's really, really funny because I'm sitting here.
One not of the for much longer, you don't.
Not for much longer, I don't. But it's really funny because, I mean, they tell us, they're like, hey, when someone comes to the camera, they're buying up. Don't forget to mention, we got this great battery deal going on. And I feel dirty every time I'm doing that because everybody at a house has got like one, maybe two things they're possibly using batteries for. Who fucking needs batteries anymore?
Right.
Nobody!
Fuck batteries. Okay, and then on May 19th, they are releasing through Nintendo's online shop extra Switch docks, which seems like a cool idea.
Yes, I took a look at this and went, huh, that's really cool. I could have it in my living room, I can have it in my bedroom, don't have to unhook shit, just slide in, slide out, boom, boom, boom.
And then you found out...
it's $90.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Again, and
there's nothing complex with this thing.
And, you know, I usually do not like to talk about the price of, like, video games being an issue on this show because money's going to mean different things to different people. But there's no tech in this dock. It's a stand where you can conveniently plug in an HDMI port and an AC adapter so that it's a smoother experience to hook and unhook your Switch from the TV. It's
thing. So yeah. People don't really have to move that every single time they want to put it on a different TV.
And the dock
works. Really convenient.
The dock works great. It is really great to put in your Switch into the dock and just it's immediately on your TV. Or to take it off of the dock and it's immediately on the screen there. It is an incredibly smooth experience to execute the changing from TV mode to handheld mode. It works really great. There is nothing in this dock aside from ports.
It's not a complicated thing.
No, the dock does nothing. I don't know what sort of market research they used to be like, yeah, we can charge $90 for this.
It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Really, really dumb. I can't even like really. There's not much to discuss with this. Mm-hmm. This is stupid.
Like there are a lot of. I don't think we've really talked about this before. There are a lot of Switch accessories that they're pricey. They're pricey. Like, if you want to buy a set of two new Joy-Cons, that'll run you $80.
Yes.
If you want to buy a Pro Controller, that'll run you $70. But at least there's tech to talk about there. Like, the Joy-Cons, there's a lot of tech going on there with the HD Rumble and the IR camera and all the motion stuff. There's a lot going on
in those tiny... It's expensive, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you can
especially at least... with the Pro Controller, because that's just a comfort thing. Because personally, I don't like the Joy-Cons.
Which is fine. That's why an option for a Pro Controller exists. But that you can at least, like, you could still make the case like that it's very pricey, it's expensive. But there's at least...
It's fine.
There's at least a discussion to be had there. With this dock, there's nothing to discuss. It's an HDMI and an AC adapter port. And I think maybe a couple of USB ports. I'm not sure if those are on the dock or on the system themselves. There's nothing going on in that dock. $40 max. $40 would at least like make me think, do I have another TV I want to put this on? But you know what? There's a convenient little TV built right into the goddamn system. Take it with you.
I mean, this lately we've been bitching a lot by prices, especially me and the DLC. So, I mean, it sounds like we're pretty...
Well, see, but it's not even the price of the DLC that you're complaining about.
No,
it's
just the fact that we
have the timing of it. It's just the timing.
I would say the timing with that one, yeah.
All right. Fire Emblem is not out for another month.
And they're already announcing DLC. It's idiotic.
Yeah.
This is bad marketing.
But, anyway, so they love to sell us plastic. And we can also see that with the amount of...
Well, how many new amiibos are there, John?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 amiibo announced.
13 amiibos!
In this Nintendo Direct, a few different links. The last of the Smash Brothers series, the Bayonetta, Cloud, and Korn. They're each getting two different amiibo. Because fuck everyone who likes to collect things.
And then you have the Splatoon ones, where their entire purpose is to save your character.
Yeah, that's it. Your dress-up doll.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it was like a year ago.
So when you go to your friend's place and play with their console, wait a second. You're going to be taking your console with you.
Sure. Because
you can. Because
it's super easy. So, amiibo, they are nice looking little figures. But again, we've had this discussion back when they first came out. That's the function they serve as little collectible figures. Like, there's nothing super important in any game that these things will do for you. And to an extent, maybe there shouldn't be, because you don't want to have like a really cool feature hidden behind an amiibo paywall. But I guess they should just stop pretending that these things should do something. Like, nah, just have our little collectible toys.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
I mean, you're cooler to do something minor that some people are like, yeah, it's okay, I can live without that. Like, but still, it's pretty cool. We're like, oh, that's pretty neat.
Like the Twilight Princess Wolf Link amiibo. When you use that in Breath of the Wild, it brings a little Wolf Link into your game that fights alongside you. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. That's probably the coolest function of amiibo. And I actually haven't even brought that in yet. Maybe after.
Oh, you had that. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you give that a shot? That seems like it'll make the game easier.
I don't need it to be easier. It's fine the way it is. I want to get.
Well, wait, certain situations, like when you fought those centaur guys with the lightning arrows.
Oh, those
a little Lionels? Wolf Link would have been pretty helpful.
Maybe just as like even just a distraction.
Kill the wolf off.
But what I want to do, I actually want to finish like the game, and then for like all of my mop up quests, I'll bring him in and have him be my little helper to, you know, get as close to 100% as I'm willing to get. Because I'm not going to 100% that game. As much as Nintendo...
You say this now. Then you're going to get closer and closer and closer to it. And you're like, fuck it.
I'm
at 98%. Let's just do the last two.
But see, that's the thing. I am never going to get close to 900 Korok seeds. Okay. I'm not.
But you're going to get close to everything else, though.
Yeah.
You're going to get to that point where minus the Korok seeds, I'm like 98%. So.
I mean, I actually plan to talk about this a little bit later. But yeah, there are certain things like the Korok seeds. I'm never going to 100% that. There are things like the compendium, like taking pictures of all the things that you can collect throughout the game. I'll probably never 100% that. I mean, I'm getting decently close, but I'm not going to like spend my time looking through an FAQ. Like, okay, what's the item I'm missing and where do I find it? Like, I don't care that much.
Yeah.
I'm never going to need to try to track down a mushroom. So there's no reason to have it in my compendium. But anyway, back to the point. As much as Nintendo loves to sell us plastic, you know what they don't like to sell?
What don't they like to sell?
The NES Classic Edition. Because it has now been officially discontinued.
There's, oh my god!
There is one last run, and then that is it.
Wow!
The thing that everyone wants. They're like, you know what, guys? It's okay. Keep your money.
No.
Keep your money. You're okay.
God, that's so dumb.
Now,
that is so dumb.
I could the only thing I could see as maybe the reason this is happening is because they did just up the amount of Switches that they want to produce, and it's their new hardware. They're like,
so they're trying to take focus away from possible Switch sales,
and they might just need those factories and manufacturers working on Switch
rather than
NES Classic. I think that it would be very, very dumb if they never revisited an NES Classic, because there are still tons of people who want these things.
But there's so little for supply, they didn't even give us a chance to buy it.
I would be really interested to see how many were actually made, because the first month they came out...
Google.
Or was it like end of December? We talked about sales numbers for these things, which we never do, but it was like 200,000, and they could have sold 20 million of these things. So I'm not sure what the justification was. We talked about like maybe there was problems with the manufacturing, or they couldn't get like a manufacturer to make this part or that part, or maybe just a big hassle. But I think it would be very, very dumb to never revisit this idea, because there are things that you could do to revise this NES Classic Edition hardware that would make it even more appealing to people, even though you'd still sell tons of them if you just kept making them.
This article says like 200,000. They sold nearly 200,000.
But like in the release month.
Yeah.
And replenishes have seemed like they've been few and far between. So, and then this is like a discontinue through all territories, like Europe, and I think even in Japan, the Famicom one is being discontinued. But, like, if they were ever to bring this back, which I think they should, like, it would be so, so dumb to never have this thing available again. But, like, just do a hardware revision to where, like, the controller cords are longer. Because that was one of the big complaints that people had, was, like, the controller cords were, like, 2.5 feet. So you had to have the console next to you, which from a design standpoint, I suppose makes sense, because they wanted it to be like as exact, like a mini replica as an NES as possible. So to get back to the root menu, they had you press the reset button. So they were like, okay, well, they're going to need the console closer to them. So let's make that happen by having the controller cords short. So you don't have a choice but to have the console close to you. Rather than that, just stick an extra button on the controller. No one is going to give a fuck. Like, this is not an authentic NES.
They may thank you for right. that. Good. Or, you're improving an awesome thing.
Or start select at the same time. Or up A, or like up select A. Just do a button combination to take you back out to the root menu. There are ways around this. And those are just three things off the top of my head. Anyway. So yeah, NES Classic Edition, We Hardly Knew Ye.
God, it's so messed up.
Yep. So, oh God, we've been going about this Nintendo Direct for an hour. I have games to talk about. Should we talk about games, or should we just close it out here?
I'm okay with talking about games, but first I gotta pee.
Yeah, okay. Because there was going to be a fourth game that I was going to try to talk about, but I ran into a bit of a snag. So I tried to start up Star Ocean Second Story, which is a PS1 RPG developed by Tri-Ace and published by Enix. This game came out in North America in May of 1991, May 31st. I didn't play much of it, but I want to tell the story of my experiences with this game so far.
What game is this exactly?
Star Ocean Second Story. It's okay, a PS1 RPG.
That's a terrible name.
Sure. Well, I mean, it is a Japanese RPG.
Does it take place on an ocean of stars?
I did not get that far.
No.
But probably. So, first of all, there's tons of talking at the beginning. And
instantly, right? That right there will kill the game for you, John.
It's made it a total winner so far. Like the first hour and a half of this game was absolutely excruciating. Like, tons of talking. You walk around the town, find the person to talk to, talk some more. Run around town, find the person to talk to, talk some more. Go to the forest, find the person to talk to, talk some more.
Is there any combat in that?
There was the illusion of a combat because the battle sequence started. So when you start, you got to choose between two characters. You get the guy character and the girl character. Mika was playing with me, so we picked the girl character. She wanted to play as the girl. So I picked the girl character. I named her Mika. Thought this was a great idea.
This is a bonding moment between the two. Get her into games at an early age.
I mean, eventually, she probably got sick of all the talking too, and she left. It's like, Dad, nothing's happened in this game. But okay, so pick the girl character, and then you meet the guy character that you could have picked, and there's a battle sequence that starts, but the guy does every, you pretty much just watch the battle play out. So I don't know if I actually would have played the battle if I were the guy character. I don't know. Maybe the girl would have done all the heavy lifting in that instance. But after the first hour and a half, there something happens. The girl gets kidnapped, taken away. I'm playing as the girl. You go through the sequence. You're in this castle or fortress. You try to escape. I make it to the basement, which is the escape route. I'm going through the basement.
That seems weird.
And I get, yeah, sure. I get to the basement. I'm going through. I'm escaping. I get to a battle. Right? After an hour and a half, I get to a fight. Now, rewind a little bit. The game has save points, a la any Final Fantasy on the PS4.
Because, you know, some of those conversations can be awfully deadly.
Yes. You want to save early and often. Okay, so I guess it just didn't register with me that, hey, this is a PS1 RPG. So I would hit the save point. I would walk through it. It would make a chime, and I was like, oh, well, I guess it has saved then, because that's what more modern games do now. You just hit the save point, it autosaves for you, you're good to go.
Oh, no.
Whereas in other PS1 RPGs, Final Fantasy VII, to save, you have to stand on the save point, open up the menu, and pick a save option, which would be grayed out otherwise if you were not on a save point.
Yeah, which game were you mentioning? Final Fantasy?
VII.
Yeah, there was other ones that did that. You literally had to, like, walk 8 into it, and then you
and
actually...
9, I believe. Maybe? 9? I
remember walking into this weird multicolored thing, and then having going to my menu.
9 had the Koopos. Where you could
9
say.
Had the Koopos.
And then 10 had the...
8 had the weird, those little circular things. You literally walked into them, and then went into the menu.
Maybe? I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Anyway. So... I thought
Fantasy 10 that you actually go in there and click on the thing itself
the
to do it.
Yeah. Or you play Blitzball, which you should.
Or you can play Blitzball.
So,
if you hate yourself,
I hit these save points, right? And I'm like, God, this is saving like really quickly. Like it takes a shorter time to save than it does to load the initial game.
No, John.
Then I hit my first battle, and it's an action-based battle system. Probably similar to a Tales game, but I didn't really get to experience much of it to see how much of like the Tales game it was. And then let's rewind. Like, okay, so I have played a little bit of Star Ocean before. I played Star Ocean Till the End of Time for a little bit on the PS2, but I have this sort of tumultuous history with PS2 RPGs. If it wasn't Final Fantasy X, fuck it. I didn't like it. So I didn't play much of Star Ocean Till the End of Time. So I had no idea how the battles worked. I had no idea what buttons did what. There was no sort of tutorial or easy win battle. So I got my ass kicked. I died. And then it kicked me back out to the root menu, and there was nothing to load. So I spent an hour and a half of my day reading through text and getting nothing out of it.
That's sad.
All progress.
You call yourself a gamer.
Shut the fuck up.
It's PS1. It's like an autosave. Name a PS1 game that autosaved. You can't.
Mega Man X4. Prove me wrong.
Mega Man X4?
Anyway, let's get into some games I actually
got. I'm this up.
Okay. Let's get into some games where I actually, you know, got to play the fucking game. So I downloaded Metal Slug, which is a arcade game. An SNK arcade Neo Geo game. And it is available for $7 on the Switch through the Arcade Archives, which is a bunch of...
I think you can look that kind of shit up. Go on, I'm sorry.
We could always just pop in Mega Man X4.
Who cares? I don't care enough.
Arcade Archives on the Switch is a collection of a bunch of Neo Geo stuff that they have just as downloadable games on the Switch. Is pretty cool. So Metal Slug is one of these. It is a coin muncher run-and-gun game, pretty similar to Contra 3. There are some striking differences. Contra 3 was very clearly built for a home console, whereas Metal Slug is very clearly built for an arcade. It's built to take quarters over and over again.
I never played Metal Slug growing up, but every time, even now, because back now I know what the game actually is, but back when I never even seen anything, I always thought Metal Slug, kind of like Worms. Maybe you're a big worm walking around with, like, commando helmets and big guns.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
Yeah?
No.
I always thought that. Yeah. All right, there's my annoying stupid story. Shut up.
So Contra 3, very clearly built for a home console. It has things like a difficulty curve, a pattern memorization, item management, and it's not so tremendously difficult that you're going to just bleed lives over and over again once you start to learn how the game works. A Metal Slug, very clearly built to take your quarters. The levels are very frantic. There's tons of enemies that will pop out at you, sometimes very inconveniently. There are lots of enemies on the screen at the same time. You have limited ammo for your special guns like your machine gun and your flamethrower. The tank controls can be unwieldy at times. It's impossible for your tank to face backwards to use your... You have like a machine gun on your tank that can shoot in any direction, but your main tank cannon can only shoot forward. So there are certain things where this game is not designed to allow you to just play through it in your given set of lives. You know, you need to be pumping money into this thing to keep on going.
Is it a 2D side-scroller like Contra?
Right, yeah.
Well, of course you can't point backwards. Kind of like if you hop in a tank on Contra 3, even. The tank only looks one way.
But the tank in Contra 3 is not nearly as vulnerable as the tank in Metal Slug. Tank in Metal Slug has a health bar, which I suppose the tank in Contra 3 also does. It's just invisible. But it is much squishier. Like, when you get into the tank, you actually do have to take care of where you're positioning yourself and where you're shooting in that tank, because it dies a lot quicker than the Contra 3 tanks. It does have some good options to make this experience more pleasant than it is frustrating. Through the miracle of emulation, you can now adjust all sorts of different options that you couldn't do in the arcade version, such as giving yourselves 99 lives. Continues do not cost any sort of quarter. Of course, if you pump it up to 99 lives, you will not need a continue. You'll be fine. There is a difficulty slider. There's a resume state where you can set your save state, and the next time you start the game, it starts back up. Another way to do this is just to exit out to the Switch menu and put it to sleep. I guess, like, the resume save state exists in case you switch over to another game, but as long as you're just putting your console to sleep, it's just going to keep your spot anyway.
Yeah.
So there's not really much in the way of platforming challenges like in Contra 3, which, you know, could be a positive or a negative just depending on what you like out of your games. There's no look cool button, which is a shame.
Oh, there should be. Every game needs a look cool button.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that is kind of cool, though, is that even though there's no look cool button, there is a melee attack. So, and it's contextual. So when you're using your attack button, you're usually just shooting. But if there's an enemy close enough to you, you'll just whip out a knife and slice them, which is really cool.
Oh, it just does it automatically?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the game looks really nice. Like, this is a game made for arcades, and I don't know really too much about the Neo Geo hardware, but it has really great sprite design and animation, really nice backgrounds. Like, this game, it looks a lot better than Contra 4. Like, this is stuff that you couldn't do on a Super Nintendo. And really fun to play in co-op. Really can't go wrong with this one for $7. Really good.
Did you find a new game for you, right? Is that what this is going to become?
No. We're still going to go with Contra 3. Like, I think, overall, Contra 3 is probably a better game. I'll get rid of that qualifier. Contra 3 is definitely a better game. Just because the boss fights are more memorable and the patterns are more discernible. The boss fights are tougher in Contra 3, but because once you start to recognize their patterns, it makes them easier. It's more skill-based. Whereas in Metal Slug, a lot of the boss fights, you're just bleeding lives and throwing all of your bombs at them and just trying to do as much damage while you just keep on dying and coming back over and over again. It's just a battle of attrition rather than skill-based. But anyway, let's move over to Snipper Clips, which is another Switch eShop game. This one is another one that came out shortly after launch. I played this one for the first time today, actually. Me and a buddy at work played a co-op, and this game was very clearly designed for co-op.
Is this the one where you, like, cut shapes out of yourself to complete puzzles and
everything? This is the one where you
cut
shapes.
This looks really cool.
Oh, we should give that one a shot maybe next time we have a game night. Because, yeah, this one would be really fun.
Penny Arcade did a really funny comic on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to look at that
like,
one.
They're sitting on a bus and they're playing it. But they're saying things like, get inside me, hurry up, I got tilted that way. Oh, I don't have enough, I'm not wet enough, you know, things like that. There's like an old man sitting behind him, he's just got like the weirdest look, like, what the fuck look on his face?
Yeah, well, actually, me and my buddy were playing at work today. And we were sitting at a table in one of the break rooms, and we're playing a level where you have to shove a pencil into a pencil sharpener.
Of course.
And so to give you an idea of how weird my workplace is, Storm walks by through the break room. From Marvel Comics, the X-Men, Storm walks through, and I just say really loud, "Ram it in there." And Storm gives us a very weird look. And we're like, "Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We just play the game." But yeah, ram it in there real hard. So, yeah, so like you mentioned, it's a puzzle game of sorts. You chop each other up into different shapes to carry stuff around, maneuver things into obstacles or into goals. And the hitch is that your character body is the template, and you use that to chop away at your friend. So if you've chopped away too much at one character, it's not going to be able to do too much to the other character. You have to like reset your body. So if you chop up player one into a little sliver, you can only then take little slivers out of player two. It's a little hard to describe in words, but the amount that you can take away and the amount you can morph your other character's body is contingent upon how much mass there is to your own body. So, you know, what this results in is that the shapes that you're cutting yourselves into are never as accurate as you want them to be, and you can never really achieve success exactly the way you want to. And what that does is it makes it really fun just to get things good enough to solve the puzzle. And what this reminds me of is Octodad, in a way.
Oh, God.
Where in Octodad, we talked about how it's like a sort of like comedy that comes from gameplay, because you're never able to control Octodad well, and everything just looks ridiculous. Now, with Snipper Clips, it affords you all these different solutions to the problem, because it's kind of open to what shapes you cut yourselves into, but you can never be accurate about it. So a lot of times, like, okay, well, I'm just going to build a little scoop here, and we'll fling the object up toward where it needs to be, and things go, you don't get the shape you want, so things go wildly different than you intended, but sometimes it just works out anyway. So it's a sort of, another sort of comedy to gameplay, where there's an absurdity to it, but it's not absurdity to where the game feels broken.
Octodad was so good.
Octodad was really funny.
That was so good.
Timmy, I'm coming, Timmy.
I'm coming, Timmy.
I'll get your cereal, Timmy. So the art style is really simple, sort of like graph paper doodles kind of looking thing. But it has really fun facial animations. So when one character is chopping up another, one looks really scared and the other one looks really sinister. It's kind of funny. Oh, and the puzzles never take too very long. They're not very big either. We play through like 10 and a half hours. It was pretty cool. But at the end of it, you pretty much like given like this free play. You press the start or select button, depending on which Joy-Con you're using, to move back out to the menu and select another puzzle. But until you do that, you can just have at each other and chop each other up. And when like one person's body almost entirely disappears, they die. Well, they just respawn. So then you just go at the other person who killed you and try to chop them up too. And it's a really fun part of the game. It goes like, hey, we did it, success. And then one person sneaks up on the other and just starts killing them. And we should have a discussion about this after we do like a game night or something to see what you think about the game. But I really think like one of these little Snipper Clip characters would probably make a good Smash character.
Oh, because
it'd be so ridiculous. Like walk up to Link and like chop up his feet so now he's crawling on the ground.
That got dark all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, this like that would be their thing. Like they're just a dismembering character. Their body gets chipped away as people hit them. Yeah. I think this could work. Get on it, Sakurai. But this is a fun little game. I recommend it. And before we close out here, I do want to talk about Breath of the Wild a little bit. Because we played Breath of the Wild.
We played a lot more.
And, you know, we never really got into specifics about the game. We just talked about...
At point of recording, we're taking on the bird divine beast.
Yeah.
Middle of that right now.
Which has turned out to be pretty good.
Yep.
So, we haven't really talked about general experiences with the game. We just had a general conversation about it as an open world game and what works, why it works as an open world game. But I do want to take a few minutes to just discuss the way I like to progress in the game. Because a lot of people, people approach this game in very different ways. There are people who like to just run around, get all of the towers, and reveal the entire map, and then go about exploring. There are other people who ignore towers entirely, just get up to a really high place, look for shrines, and go from there. I take an approach where I take each part of the game in sections. I'll go to a location. Usually I make a beeline for the tower, but if I discover things along the way, I'll take small sidetracks. I go up to the top of the tower, I reveal the area, and then I see how much I can find in that area as possible before I move on to the next one. And I like playing this way because I think it helps me familiarize myself with the terrain. It certainly helps me do a lot of shrine collecting, shrine grinding, I suppose. I get a lot of stamina and heart pieces and things like that. But the biggest thing is, if I ever need to go back to someplace, I have a general idea of how to get there. I do like to also collect side quests from people. Like, anytime there's like a red exclamation point by someone's head, I immediately talk to them. Even if I don't listen to what they say, I know it's going to unlock a side quest for me. But, I never really make it a point to then go and do a side quest. I just kind of add it to my collection. And most solutions I just stumble onto by happenstance. Like, there was this one, like, after I beat the elephant divine beast near the Zoras. There was a Zora who was like, "Hey, I lost my wife and I can't find her. Can you find her for me?"
"That is my wife."
Right. And I was like, "Oh, all right, sure." And then I didn't.
A terrible husband.
Right. But then later in the game, I was exploring some of the southern regions, or one of the southern regions, and there's that electric dragon that flies around, Farosh.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get a horn off of Farosh by shooting in the face, and I fell down into the water because I ran out of stamina, swam to a nearby island, and who was on that island? Dude's wife.
Yeah. You just kind of stumble across it.
Yeah. Like, "Oh, hey, he's looking for you." And she's like, "Oh, okay, thanks. Have a fish." I was like, "Fine, I got a fish out of this. Cool." I think that was the reward. It might have been money. But like, the rewards for the side quests are never that big a deal. It's always just cash or an item or something like that. But,
like, here's a hookshot. Like, no, that shit doesn't happen.
And we'll get to that in a second. Because there are things that I think would be cool to see happen in future versions of
Zelda. DLC?
I doubt it'll happen with DLC.
Here's the hookshot DLC.
I'd pay $5 for a hookshot. I also like to do, like, loot grinding for armor upgrades. Because when you're increasing the defense of your armor, it will take... That doesn't take money, but it requires items. And as you're getting into higher upgrades, it's going to require more rare items. So, and I'm toying around with the idea and going back and buying armor that I passed on earlier. Like, there's like a knight armor. It looks like a medieval knight available in this town that I can buy. I didn't because I usually don't go for heavy armor. But it'd be kind of cool to see how high the defense of that thing would be. And if it would be useful for me at all in certain situations, and just to see what it would take to upgrade it. So I'm toying around with the idea of going back and getting that at some point. But
I mean, do the armors, like, differentiate? Like, I know they have their own little thing. Like, there's the climber armor. Mm-hmm. There's the one for different... the armor you generally wear is, like, the hood and the blue tunic.
Yeah, that...
Because you said that's, like, the strongest...
The champion tunic is so far the strongest defensive thing I have, and I've only upgraded it twice, and it's stronger than some things I've upgraded three times.
But does that have any kind of extra quirks to it like those other ones?
The champion tunic, yes. I think, from what I've observed, it will actually show you, like, the number of hit points enemies have rather than just giving you a health bar.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it is pretty cool. But, yeah, I really like the Hylian armor. It's just kind of like the basic set. And I was running around the Hylian armor with the hood and the red tunic and the pants before I upgraded the champion armor to the second star. Because the Hylian armor... And the Hylian armor doesn't do anything special. It's just your basic set. But then, like, the Sheikah garb...
Increases your sneak.
Your stealth. And actually, when you have all three equipped, it actually increases your speed at night, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool, actually.
Yeah, and of course, like, there's the heat armor, which looks like a spacesuit.
That is so dumb. That's the dumbest looking thing.
I just found armor that is very cold resistant, like an armor set, rather than just a little shirt that you get at the beginning.
And then there's the Zora one. It helps you swim and go up waterfalls. So the soldier one is probably going to be...
It also gives you a spin attack in the water. And also, that's pretty cool. And your stamina when swimming drastically... Like, the stamina used when you're swimming drastically goes down. Hmm. So you can swim for a long time with the Zora armor.
Hmm. So you would think, like, I don't know what the soldier armor would do then.
I don't know. Maybe, like, just give you a massive defense boost or something. But we'll see. I'm anxious to see what... will happen when I get all the climbing gear. So I don't have all the climbing gear yet.
Oh.
And I'm hoping it becomes like the Zora armor, how you can swim for a long time with the Zora armor. I think, like, I'm hoping that it just becomes, like, just climb forever. Your stamina decreases very, very slowly. The other one, like, I haven't completed, like, the rubber armor yet, which is the electric resistant one, which also looks a little silly. But it's kind of cool that there's electricity resistance in the game, because electricity can be one of the most annoying damn things. And electric armor might be useful going up against Lynels, because they like to shoot shock arrows at you. But I got, like, the ancient armor, which is pretty cool.
Oh, you did get the ancient armor. Yeah, oh, I didn't know you got those.
Oh, and actually, when we do a game night again, I should show you the temple where there's just a bunch of guardians. And I just throw on the ancient armor, equip the master sword, just go guardian chopping. Because there's like 8 to 10 of the damn things in this thing, and they're pretty easy to sneak up on and kill. But I was going to show you that one time, and that's one of the things about the game, is I just got so easily distracted. Like, I turned on the game, like, hey, I'm going to show you this temple where I can just fight a bunch of guardians. And then the shrine detector started kicking in. So, like, okay, well, we got to go find that shrine. I never did find
it. It's not going to be as good as Bosh Kala, but...
No, nothing as good as Bosh Kala, but... We didn't find the shrine, but then it led me to, like, okay, well, this far south, let's just uncover the next area and see what's there. And that led to, oh, God, there are lizards that spawn here that hold electric spears, which is the greatest thing in the world. So I got to mark this place, and I'm at the tower, I might as well uncover this area. And, like, okay, here's these thunder plains, and here's this mountain that I can climb up, and there's this magical horse on top of it. Just, and it's really impressive how easy it is just to...
get sidetracked.
Yeah. You just stumble on things. And, like, okay, well, what can I do with this? And or you stumble upon something. Okay, well, if I shoot an arrow through two of these loops, I uncover a shrine. So...
Oh, that puzzle did suck.
Yeah, that's...
did that one.
I don't even remember the two hoops you shot it through. I, like, stepped away for
they
a second.
They were off to the side. It was a very tough shot.
Hmm. I still wonder if there was an easier one, but... Damn it, you did it.
I did it anyways. You made it work.
But anyway, so I'm doing a little bit with armor. I certainly won't complete everything. I'm kind of thinking of going back and buying some of the other armor that I missed just for completion's sake. So because I have so much armor.
You might as well get the armor.
Yeah, I have so much of it already. Like, I was trying to, like, keep it, like, clean, only have the sets I really want to use. But then I just started finding armor. So I was like, all right, well...
Like, the rubber armor. Like, you just found that randomly.
Yeah, you just...
I was there when you got that.
So, I mean, I certainly won't complete everything. I won't complete the compendium. I won't complete the Korok seeds like we talked about before. It's just not going to happen. But I probably will do all the side quests, find all the shrines, collect as much armor as I possibly can. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. But there are some things that I hope they do in the next open world Zelda, which is the direction for the series now, they've said. Such as the options for forging and upgrading weapons like you do armor. Because we talked about before, like, the fact that weapons break does serve a design purpose. But I don't think that it would break that design purpose if you were allowed to, at a certain point, fix your weapons. Like, if it becomes badly damaged, you can take it to someone and fix it and maybe upgrade it if you have the right materials. Whereas if it becomes badly damaged and you keep using it and it breaks, it's just gone forever.
Yeah, like, repair systems are cool because you get your favorites, but now they make it so you have to hunt them down when you break them. Like, when you run out of your thunder swords, you're gonna go on a hunt for those.
Of course,
you love those things.
Electric weapons are really, really good because when you hit an enemy with an electric weapon, first of all, it stuns them. So it so they don't have like a chance to counter you. Second of all, it doesn't really knock them back either. So you can just keep on wailing on them. And third, it forces them to drop their weapons. So on the off chance that someone else comes up behind you and like attacks you and the enemy can recover, they gotta go pick up their shit before they're able to do anything to you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, ice weapons are also really cool too, because ice weapons can freeze the enemy and just hit them with a fire arrow for an instant kill. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to approach fights in this game, which is really awesome. So, I mean, it'd be really great to be able to, like, forge and upgrade your weapons, like with armor, with the correct material, like, add elemental types. Like, if you have a sword that you really like that you forge and then you get the materials to, like, make an electric sword, that would be great, and just always keep your favorite with you that way. But, you know, again, this it's all going to have to come with some sort of cost to it, like using loot to upgrade, which I think would be totally fair. And for one thing, I think it would be really cool just to be able to get a lightning spear but have it be more powerful, because the lightning spears that I found that spawn near that tower are like a base power of 20.
Yeah, it's not very high.
Which, you know, it's not great. But there's a reason.
You attack so fast with them, so it makes sense.
Yeah, spears don't get that strong because they are so quick.
I mean, you're going to have a lightning sword that does like 30, what, 36?
I think mine is, well, the regular, like, just standard size sword is like a 22, and then the great sword's like 36s, I think.
Yeah, so in the time it'll take you to hit twice with your great sword, you're hitting 3-4 times with your spear. So, I mean, it worked. It bounces out.
Yeah.
It's just you're hitting them a lot, so they're breaking quicker.
Yeah. I just think it'd be really cool to, like, have a 60 power electric spear. Be my favorite weapon in the game. But, like you were talking about before, it would also be nice to see them bring back some of the more traditional Zelda weapons and for exploration purposes, like the hookshot.
Yeah.
It'd be really great to see a hookshot in this game and to be able to zip from place to place.
It's perfectly fine. It's not like it's going to break the thing. You're still going to be climbing mountains and things, because there's not really going to be anything to hook on with mountains.
I mean,
they could do it. Like, there's just random trees and stuff.
Or they could, like, make the hookshot able to dig into rock or something. I don't know. I mean, you're right. I don't think it would totally break
it's
the
not
gonna game.
It's not going to break anything.
But yeah, I mean, it'd just be really cool to get a double hookshot again. Especially, like, a double hookshot.
Well, I guess it would kind of break the game, depending on how long the hookshot is. Because, you know, certain mountain cliffs you won't be able to climb because your stamina's not high enough. Now you can.
I suppose. I mean, again, it's all going to depend on
how they do it and how they would balance it.
And how early you get it. Because if you get a hookshot early,
it's not really like an early or late with this game. It's a matter of going to an area and just doing it with this game. You don't have, there's no leveling to it. There's no.
Yeah.
It's all pretty skill based.
Unless you're also upgrading the length of your hookshot, I suppose. You know, like adding links to the chain so that the more work you put into it, the farther you can go with it. Maybe that's the trade off, is that you get the hookshot. And maybe that lets you go, like sling around in really close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're able to, like, hookshot your way up mountains as you upgrade. And, you know, sometimes just, like, the geography of a mountain, it slopes upward. If you're at the bottom, it's not exactly easy to get a clear shot to get you higher up. Anyway, this is all speculative. But, yes, a hookshot in the game would be awesome.
That'd be really cool.
So, yeah, like we talked about, open world, that's a new direction for Zelda. There are opportunities to refine it, to add some more cool stuff to it, but they've really nailed it just on their first try here. And I did play a bit of Skyrim. We played a bit of Skyrim.
Yeah, we did play a little bit of Skyrim.
But you did
not seem interested in it. You seemed so bored.
I don't want to get too deep into it. I do want to give the game more of a chance before making a judgment on it. It does take a little while to get started.
Oh yeah, the start's pretty slow. That's the one thing I have a gripe about, which some of the mods, like one of the mods I wish was on console was called New Start.
Mm.
And what it is, you just pretty much pick what kind of character you roughly want to make, and they just start you in that area. Like the College of Winterhold, which is for mages. You want to start with a mage? Boom, they just start you there. You're a student. Boom, off you go. And just skips that whole prisoner beheading thing that takes forever. You just go into the game, which I think is a fantastic mod, but it's not on consoles. So I'm like, shit.
And what, and see, Skyrim's a much different game. I think there are comparisons being drawn because they're both games where you can go to places whenever you feel like going, I suppose.
Yeah, it's an open world. Skyrim and Zelda have a lot in common.
But I think that Skyrim seems to be more based around your custom character builds.
Yes.
Rather than just going out and exploring.
Yes.
Which is fine. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the kind of game that it is.
It's weird because there's a lot of things you can compare between the two, but at the same time, they are very drastically different.
Okay, see, well, like, when just moving around through, and again, this was early on, moving around through the early bits of Skyrim, it seemed much more confined. Like, I didn't really get the sense of openness that I got out of Skyrim. And again, like, this is a comparison. Like, the games are, like, what, 10 years apart, almost?
Well, the bit that you played of Skyrim, I can't remember all you did. You got to Whiterun. You didn't even fight the dragon.
No.
Oh, yeah, see, that you were in a very direct area, so you didn't really get a whole grasp of the size of the world.
Although I do think I discovered a bug, because it kept on telling me to talk to the one lady.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird bug. Yeah, I don't know how you did that bug. I don't know how you did that one.
I guess I'm just that good.
You're just immediately griping about it.
Great at finding the flaws.
Hey, there was a bug today in Zelda.
Oh, yeah?
That monster vanished into the mountain.
Yeah, so I was fighting a bunch of bokoblins at the top of a mountain, and there was a big horde of them, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna knock some of you off the side and cut down on the crowd here, and they fell down the mountain. I guess I just assumed that the fall would kill them, because then I see, like, their health bars still moving down the bottom of the mountain. I was like, well, I guess I best just drop down there and kill them. So I started to, I was hacking away at them, and then I threw a bomb and blew them up, and one ended up inside the mountain.
Yep.
And then just disappeared.
Yep.
Which I guess it should. Like,
and you couldn't get the chest then because you couldn't kill that one.
Right. I'm going to have to probably wait. Well, maybe it'll... No, I'll probably have to wait for a blood moon for him to respawn before I go back there. And
yeah. See? Your game's not perfect.
It's pretty darn close. Pretty darn close.
But I'll bring it back over. We can play some more. I'll show you all my layer files when characters get ridiculous.
Okay. But I also still kind of prefer the combat in Zelda 2.
Yeah, it's preference. I mean, it's between the two of them, I'm not saying there's one I prefer over the other. Because they're different. They're very different. You play the game differently.
Sure.
So it's just a different game.
Indeed. It's like comparing Advance Wars to Fire Emblem. There's similarities, but you're playing them in
very different ways. They're very different, yeah.
Advance Wars is like, fuck all of my units, you could all die, I don't care. Fire Emblem is like, no, everyone must live.
Everyone must live. Oh, he died, time to restart this level.
If someone dies, you play the game wrong. But I think it's going to bring this show to a close. It's a very long show.
That was a very long show for a mini show.
Right. So, next up is going to be the Super Nintendo show. We'll make sure we get Ryan back in for this one. Not many Super Nintendo shows left. Got April, May, June, July, and August. How many is that? Five?
What are we going to call the new one after the Super Nintendo show? Like the Nintendo Show 64?
Yep. Nintendo Show 64.
I like it.
It's going to be a hoot. We played a little bit of Super Mario 64 the other day.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Ryan was enjoying.
No, he was not at all.
Which, I'm going to plug in my own 64, see if I can clean my cartridge. And
by the way, why haven't they re-released that on like the Nintendo eShop and stuff like that? Because, I mean, with the new controls and everything like that, I think it would be
It is on the Virtual Console for Wii U.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's also the DS Remake, which wasn't great because you're playing with a D-pad rather than an analog stick. It was weird. I mean, let me rephrase. It was a good version of the game, just not the ideal way to control your characters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. But yeah, it's available on the Virtual Console. I think some of the issues with Mario 64 come from a bit more than the analog stick.
Yeah, it's the camera.
The camera, and then some of the jumps that they're asking you to do. I don't think they entirely figured out that, like, hey, it's a 3D platformer. It's much more difficult to judge your jumps in this than it is in a 2D game. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking specifically about the one inside the ship in Jolly Roger Bay. We have like we spent what 20
oh,
minutes
yeah. just trying to get up the side of that thing,
sliding back
oh,
down.
Oh my god!
It seemed easier 20 years ago.
Oh yeah, I remember that only taking me 5 minutes to solve.
Hmm.
But nowadays, because I was playing that, I'm like, I remember this game being so much easier. I'm like, I was flying through these levels.
I'm like butt slamming the chain chomp.
That was simple. I would do that every time. Boom, 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 move on. Like this time, I couldn't do it.
It's our old man brains. We can't handle it anymore.
Oh my god, that sucks. I hope that's not a thing.
We're getting so casual.
Oh my god, I hope I don't become that one of those people where I'm just like an old man, but I can't keep up with these youths in video games. Fuck that.
We'll continue to be old men on the Super Nintendo.
It's like a dad taking his kid to a card shop. Be like, explain this Yu-Gi-Oh to me.
Do kids still play Yu-Gi-Oh?
That's still a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Your brother was going to tournaments and everything recently. Well, not recently. A few months back.
Okay. But anyway, let's close the show before we start talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! Till next time, everybody.
So long.